Hello, everyone. Welcome to Working Things Out. This is Diana, your host, and I welcome you again to a wonderful show here on the Shantani Broadcasting Network. And, I'm very, very excited to, talk to you again about various different topics, including one of my favorite series, which is the paranormal world. And I find that very, very fascinating, considering the background that I have. I was just telling my guest, who I will announce in a few moments, that it's very difficult and very challenging sometimes to do intuitive work, but sometimes psychic work, when you come with such a scientific background like psychology and biology and neuropsych and schmooshoshike. So all of a sudden to work on stuff that is, intuitive is a little strange. But before we start, I want to say that I have an older brother. I have two older brothers. And my oldest brother, my big brother, has a very exciting birthday today. So I wanted to wish him a very, very happy birthday and thank him for taking care of me. I was a very good kid, by the way. I was a good girl. And he would take care of me, and he would, I just love him so much for doing that. And occasionally I wasn't such a good girl, but, he was my official babysitter. So I want to say, Edgardo, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, big brother. Happy birthday to you. Oh, my God, it's an a cappella. Oh, sweat. So happy birthday, and I hope you enjoy today. We'll talk very, very soon. And with that said, I want to tell you that I'm just going to bring my guest in, and then I'll tell you a little bit about Working Things Out for those listening for the first time. I have a very, very special guest. He's going to tell us all about him. His name is Dan Sturgis. Did I pronounce that correctly?
And
Dan is from Sturgis Paranormal.
Sturgis Paranormal, correct.
Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Diana. And happy birthday to your brother. I'm not going to sing, but happy birthday.
Hey, maybe you should. Can you do mediumship? Are you medium? Can you
Do maybe... I look medium? I'm like an extra large. I'm like a double extra large.
Oh, I love you. So funny. I was hoping you could channel like Nat King Cole or something.
Not a chance.
So here, Working Things Out, I always like to say that it's about all things intuitive, kind of bridging the rational with the supernatural, talking about our everyday living and how we can incorporate intuitive abilities with everyday just living so we can have a joyful life and an interesting life. And when things come our way that are not so pleasant, we can handle them with grace. And we can handle them with knowing that we'll get past it, and there's an order to the universe that we may not be able to understand at the moment, but ultimately will be revealed. That's all I have to say about Working Things Out.
That sounds good to me.
I like the way that sounds, too. So if you have any questions about Working Things Out, then please check workingthingsout.com at any time. But Dan, I want to talk about you. I want to ask you, who are you? How did you become interested in the field of paranormal world?
Investigation, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And anything else you want to share with us, because we have a lot of wonderful time in our hands.
All right. Well, super. Well, like you said, my name is Dan Sturgis, and I grew up out on Long Island. I'm a native New Yorker, and I grew up out on Long Island. And I've always had an interest in this kind of paranormal world. When I was growing up as a kid, my book reports were always on. The Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, and that kind of crazy stuff, and was real interested in that growing up. And
how did the teachers and other students react?
As long as I was doing my work, they didn't really complain.
Nice.
But as soon as I got the age of, I decided to chase girls instead of ghosts for a long time, and put the paranormal world on the back.
What's the difference?
I've had a couple of scary girls, I'll tell you. And then when I moved to the city, to go to theater school, and I was an actor for a long time, and started doing commercials, and got lucky with commercials.
Did you hear that bell?
Yeah.
That means you're still lucky.
Oh, come on. I can't think of anything. And anyway, I've always also had an interest in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I started doing commercials and making a couple of bucks, I was able to afford to take some time off and travel around the East Coast. And I would go to different battlefields and kind of learn about them. And every battlefield on the East Coast, or probably anywhere across the country, has a bed and breakfast that's haunted. Mm-hmm. So to kind of satiate my appetite night for that kind of stuff, I would stay at the haunted bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at one place in Gettysburg, and there was a paranormal group down there, and they were doing an investigation. And I said, "Wait, what the heck are you guys doing?" And they were pretty cool, and they explained what they were doing. And I came back to New York City, and I started looking for people who might have a group. I couldn't find any.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the time where I first saw that TV show Ghost Hunters, and
yeah.
realized that
yeah.
you know there are groups out there doing that. So
Absolutely.
So did a lot of Google searches, and then came up with a friend of mine, Don Vallela, who you had on.
I
just
did
recently,
and you can hear his show on demand, by the way.
And
hi, Dom.
And hooked up with him, and started working with him, and then sort of branched out. And now I do all the historic locations, while Dom focuses mostly on individual homes and private homes.
Mm-hmm.
I do the historic locations.
Interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, I like
and,
that.
And here I am talking to you.
Oh, I love it.
Me too.
I think it's so interesting. I want to ask you, when you were a child, and you were interested in this, I'm going to do a little psychoanalysis.
Okay.
Where was your mother? No, I'm just kidding. No. did you experience anything unusual that you thought was unusual, or anything weird, or just that you're just fascinated by the whole like monsters thing and ghosts and monster and all that? You know, how about dreams?
Probably the latter. No, I never really had any experiences.
Mm-hmm.
My bedroom when I was growing up was in the basement, and I was never, ever comfortable in that bedroom, ever. And in fact, I never slept in it. And growing up in high school, I slept on the couch, and we had a bench press and a heavy bag in that room. And,
oh.
And so I didn't even have a bed in there.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I never had an experience in that room, and haven't.
Mm-hmm.
My parents still live out there in the house I grew up in.
Have you ever considered going back and checking?
Doing an investigation?
Maybe has a very high electromagnetic field, maybe.
It's a real strong possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone out there with my stuff, but it's my folks' place.
Yeah, so. You don't want to do that. That's sacred. That's sacred ground.
Sacred ground. And my mom would kick my butt. So.
Most importantly.
Yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
So that's interesting because we mentioned we just threw a term out there, electromagnetic field,
right.
And this field of paranormal investigation
mm-hmm.
is relatively new, but yet not right.
Right. It's been around. Paranormal investigations and loosely parapsychology has been around for about 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
People started the psychical. I'm gonna forget the name now.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Psychical research
mm-hmm,
in England was around in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
The American Society of Psychical Research is over here on the Central Park West, its sister organization.
Oh.
So it's been around for a while, and there have been some pretty heavy hitters throughout history who have been into psychical research or paranormal investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, it's you know, in the 70s, you remember Uri Geller and the Spook
Yes, Bending so yeah,
and,
he still does. He yep. contributes a lot to yoga magazines.
Sure,
now,
sure.
Yeah.
It was popular then, and in the 80s, it sort of slowed down, and in the 90s, it was sort of on the back burner.
Yes.
And then with the television shows being so popular, it's back to the forefront.
And also, you know, it's interesting because even throughout these decades, the 70s and the 80s, a lot of horror movies, you know,
right.
were coming out. I mean, of course, we had talked about this before, The Exorcist,
mm-hmm.
Poltergeist, Amityville Horror,
right.
Where they featured at one point or another either an exorcist or a, you know, researcher,
right.
paranormal researcher,
mm-hmm.
And sort of that kind of introduced us to this whole idea that you can call for help somewhere.
Right, right. And, well, Ghostbusters as well.
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the one we were talking about when Dom was here, you know,
sure.
Ghostbusters, and how that really changed. Sort
they
of revolutionized.
Know that there were investigators out
right.
there, and people doing, you know, research in parapsychology,
mm-hmm.
which for whatever reason isn't a part of mainstream science right now. It, mm-hmm. it will be in the future.
Again.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know, I mean, like I said, my background is in psychology, and boy, what I would have loved to do that when I was in, like, the master's or the PhD
right.
program. No, but, you know, but that wasn't, in fact, the closest thing we have that's kind of, I guess that the bridging of bringing back parapsychology is transpersonal psychology.
Right.
Have you heard that?
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So that's sort of like there's a program in California.
Right.
There's sort of transpersonal
and,
psychology.
And while we're talking about it, also there is a Atlantic University is going to be offering a Master's of Arts in parapsychology, probably beginning in the fall next year. Once the curriculum gets accredited, probably in the spring it'll get accredited, and they'll offer it in the fall. So it'll be the first time, and Atlantic University is a real university. It's not one. one of those kind of diploma mills that you can find on the internet.
That's right. Good to know that
they are accredited by the United States Board by a company that is okayed by the United States Board of Education.
Mm-hmm.
So they recognize Atlantic University as a real university.
Where is Atlantic?
North Carolina, I believe.
Okay.
You know, a lot of places out there, people walking around with certifications and PhDs. I was offered a PhD by an online metaphysical university.
Yes.
For $1,500. He didn't ask if I had graduated high school or if I had any kind of degree.
You got the degree of cash or credit, so.
Yeah, exactly. I got the
that's
visa
all you
degree.
Mean. And that puts you there in the top of your field. But that's very interesting. Yeah, no, it's good to know because a lot of this field is we were talking, right, Betty, our engineer, and we talked in other shows about...
Hi, Betty.
How we, you know, this whole ghost world, if you want to call it that, you know, the whole idea has existed from as early as humans walked the ground. I mean, there's always something that we didn't understand about our existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're here now in the 21st century now? I don't know, I can't keep track anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, here we are researching it again, and I'm very glad that we are, and we have technology that allows us to share the information, the pros, the cons, the skeptics, the believers, everything in between, the cynics.
We can share information. We don't really have any technology to gather information, which I think a lot of people make that mistake where... they think that they're doing scientific research because they have scientific equipment, which isn't really the case. An EMF meter will detect high electromagnetic fields and will detect wires, but it doesn't detect a ghost necessarily. Voice recorders will record anomalous voices, but they're not designed
or sounds.
Mm-hmm. So there's really no equipment. Anything that we're using equipment for, we're actually looking at the wake of the boat and not the boat.
Right.
And if anybody tells you different, they're talking out their butt because it's...
Sure, you know, you don't want people talking out their butt sometimes, you know, I mean, it's a little stinky.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that, you know, I think that it's important to say that, we were talking with Dom, that sometimes the best equipment is the human body itself.
The person, yeah. Yeah,
and
a great
the
psychic.
Person.
I work
exactly.
with a fantastic psychic, and I would walk around with him with no equipment, and he would have a really funny comeback if he had heard me say that.
Oh.
But, oh, Richard. But yeah, you can't go wrong. And
I can almost imagine what that comeback is as a psychic. No, it's true. It's true. The human equipment, you know, the human.
Yeah, and a level head. You have to be level headed
right.
as well.
Right. Absolutely.
And open minded, and open minded on both ends of the spectrum. You have to be open minded that there is things that could be happening that we can't explain yet, which I think we will. Remember, everything was paranormal at one point. Thunder and lightning was paranormal. Earthquakes were paranormal.
Yes.
And so we figured them out.
Absolutely.
So eventually we'll probably figure these things out. But you also have to be open minded on the other end of the spectrum that if you can't figure it out, doesn't necessarily mean it's supernatural or it's a ghost. It's just something we haven't figured out yet.
Right.
And believe me, there are more cases where it's something natural that's going
more
on.
More than often than not.
Than a ghost. Mm-hmm. And there are more psychos and psychics out there. You really
Absolutely.
Have to be careful.
Absolutely. And that, they really ruin my business, by the way.
I know.
These psychos. Because, you know, they go around promising all these things and scaring
and they
people.
Deliver. And they
scaring
people and charging people for something that they can't prove.
Right.
It's
you know, fear is an incredible motivator. You know, humans go to fear, you know, run away from fear or pleasure or whatever.
Right.
So a lot of times these schmikics,
right.
I'm going to call them,
right, sure.
You know,
schmikics.
they make a lot of money and they make a lot of business, you know, spooking people around. I just, you know, we're going to go on break in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We have some surprises for our listeners, right, when we come back.
All right.
You know, there was a woman in a cosmetic store, you know, Sephora, I'm going to throw it out there. You want to support us, Sephora? We're looking for sponsors. And she was like, oh, are you a psychic? And I'm like, oh, you know, she kind of overheard me talking. She said, well, I'm an intuitive, you know, whatever, consultant, whatever the word or terminology is. And she goes, oh, I just spoke with somebody who said I have dark spirits all around me. And I'm really scared. And I'm like, you have nothing.
Right.
Nothing but good stuff. That perfume smells good. I like that lipstick color on you. You know, things. And she was so happy to hear that. She gave me a hug.
Right.
She didn't give me a free sample, though.
Get that cocoa butter, Diana. Come on.
And it was like really, it was that was a healing moment for her.
Uh-huh.
That little thing saying, I don't, there's nothing.
Yeah, the power of suggestion works both ways.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
So. Exactly. So we're going to take a delicious break. We're going to take a nice deep breath, take a sip of water. We'll be right back. Thank you for joining us.
Join me, uncensored and live, with entertaining and provocative guests, from celebrities to world-renowned entrepreneurs, with hot topics and hot talk. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, High Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world, only on the Chenstani Broadcasting Network. Chenstani.
Hello, my name is Anthony Teresa, owner and producer of Blue Night Recording Studio in beautiful Orange County, California, just outside Los Angeles. As a guitarist, vocalist, bassist, session player, producer, and engineer, I have either played or recorded on over 400 CD projects. Let me tell you, it's not easy to record your own music. My goal is to help you to be the best you can be behind the mic and in the tracking room. We'll get the best possible sounds from your voice and instruments. Do you need musicians? I've got them. The top session players in Southern California and Los Angeles. Let's make your recording project a reality. You can contact me by phone at 949-338-0293. That's 949-338-0293. Or contact me at email at catduo@earthlink.net. Looking forward to hearing from you. Take care and have a great week.
Hi, this is Vino, owner and chef of Giovanna's Restaurant. You are broadcasting live from Giovanna's on Internet Broadcast Network. High definition digital radio broadcasting to the world.
And we are back. We are back at Working Things Out with a little funky music in the background that you heard. And we're here with Dan Sturgis.
Hello.
From Sturgis Paranormal. How did Sturgis Paranormal come to be? How did that evolve?
Well, that was I was working with Don Villela in paranormal investigations in New York City, and I decided that I wanted to focus more on like I said before, the historic locations. So decided to do that and formed historic paranormal research group. Doesn't really roll off the tongue well, and I've been doing a 3-year investigation at the Merchant's House Museum downtown, and their director of the museum, Pi Gardner, suggested I just use Sturgis Paranormal. It sounds easier, so.
Sounds actually that does roll off the tongue.
It does, and Pi also told me that when I do lectures down there for the museum, and she said, Dan, I'm just going to call it Sturgis Paranormal, just so you know. So she kind of made the name up for me. So thank you, Pi.
You know what? Sometimes we have to. Just listen to what the universe tells us and, not be stubborn about the name we want to use.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
It works very well. So, by the way, you do have a website called
SturgisParanormal.com.
If anybody wants to do any, if they want to contact you, they can reach you there, right?
Yep, they can reach me there, and you can email me from there, and there's also have a phone number you can call me on.
Excellent. So, if you didn't get that the first time, we'll repeat it a couple of times throughout tonight, but it is SturgisParanormal.com. Tell me about the Merchant's Museum.
Well, the Merchant's House Museum is a fantastic place, and I urge anybody listening in New York City to go down there, 29 East 4th Street, between Bowery and Lafayette, right around the corner from the
Florida. Are you serious? I'm always down there.
Have you ever been to the Merchant's House? Where do you go down there?
I go to Spring Street Natural Restaurant. Huh? I go to Whole Foods. I'm always wandering with Betty. Starbucks.
There's a great liquor store right around the corner.
Right, Betty?
But this place is fantastic. It's an old brownstone. It was built in 1832. In 1835, their family called the Treadwells moved in. They moved in 1835. Mr. and Mrs. Treadwell, Eliza and Seabury, had 7 kids when they moved in. Gertrude was born in 1840. Now, the rumor is she lived there in her entire life. That's not a rumor. She was there till she was 93. And the rumor, a very romantic rumor, is that she died in the bed she was born in. And so after she passed away in 1933, the house closed up for about 2 years, and then a distant family member, his last name was Chapman, I believe. He, George Chapman, bought the house and opened it up as a museum of 19th century living.
Mm-hmm.
So everything in the house has belonged to the Treadwells. Only one family lived there for almost 100 years. All the sheets that are on the beds, the beds mm-hmm. are the beds that they slept in. The sheets are the sheets that they slept in. And
wow,
the,
and
the
living
knives,
history.
The forks, yeah. Everything is as it was. But the unique thing from a paranormal investigator's point of view is that it's sort of a controlled environment. You know, it's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
When they were refurbishing the house to turn it into a museum and put plumbing and the correct electricity and bring everything up to code,
mm-hmm.
They did that in the 30s. The workers were having experiences, and they were seeing things and seeing people, and they started keeping a record. So there is a record from the late 30s, early 40s, all the way up until today,
mm-hmm.
where people are reporting things that are happening. And you can go back and corroborate. Okay, somebody from 2009 saw a woman in a brown dress walking down the steps, and she made it right into the kitchen. She had a cup of tea in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back to 1950, and there's a worker who was doing some painting and saw a woman in a brown dress walk down the stairs, make a right, go into the kitchen, she's drinking a cup of tea. And these people are separated by decades.
That's right.
And not connected at all and having the same exact experiences.
So they're seeing something occur that can't be explained, and almost like a repetitive thing.
Well, sort of like a residual. But
I was
going to
ask you what the residual is.
Sure,
yeah.
Residual or place memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's where that is. The theory is, it's just theory, is that energy is absorbed into an environment. What we're doing right now could be absorbed into this environment. And when the conditions are right, and when you have the right person who's tuned in to the right frequency,
mm-hmm.
They can perceive that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in the rooms with people who have been having an experience like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that it's not there. It means that it's not in the room. It's in the person's head, and
mm-hmm.
they're picking up this particular vibration. I always tell people, I said, it's sort of like cable TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can have premium service and you have the basic service, and psychically I seem to have the basic service.
Oh.
And
get an upgrade.
And now I can read your mind.
Oh, no. Okay, so we're going to have to censor the show from now on.
So, another drink for the host here.
Absolutely.
But people, people can have this ability, and they will see this energy that is replayed like a film loop. A lot of people will
uh-huh.
describe it as a film loop. And usually when you see somebody, when people will describe, the woman walked through the wall, or they were going up the stairs, and there's no stairs there right now.
Uh-huh.
It's because of a residual type of haunting.
Versus,
like, say, an intelligent haunting mm-hmm. or some kind of poltergeist phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
An intelligent haunting or an apparitional haunting is mm-hmm. is the dead guys. It's there's communication between the consciousness or the mind of a deceased person,
mm-hmm.
And they are aware of you. You are aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
There is communication. There is verifiable information that is passed back and forth. Again, it's not. It isn't a ghost in the room. It's a ghost in your mind, and that's the only way that these people. A ghost. Remember, a ghost doesn't have a body, so it doesn't have a tongue, doesn't have a voice box, it doesn't have ears, doesn't have eyes, doesn't have a mouth. Can't
mm-hmm.
talk. Can't smell, can't see. The only way you can communicate is telepathically, which is really, really far out there.
And very mysterious, and even through physicists and every other...
I tell people, I say, look, ESP,
yeah,
if you want to call that.
Yeah, extrasensory perception.
It's coined by J.B. Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
We experience that every day.
Yes.
And I always tell pretty girls, say, have you know when there's a guy staring at you on the subway? It's usually me, but you know, you know that there's a guy staring at you. Explain that.
And also, I always tell this to my clients, how many times have you been thinking about a long-lost friend, somebody...
And they call.
Yes, out of the blue, apparently.
Right.
There is some connection there, so...
Well, if we subscribe to the Big Bang Theory, which I think a lot of people do, and we all come from the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We all came from the same point. We all have the same... We're all carbon... little
carbon-based beam, yeah.
Stardust. Right, right. And so we're all connected.
Absolutely. This is not an AT&T commercial, by the way. Remember that old commercial?
Right. But it makes sense that we can connect somehow at the spur of the moment.
It makes perfect sense, even though we can't explain it all the time, the whatever the actual technicals of it. But
quantum physics.
Exactly. I think that it's really, I'm so excited that this whole field, the fields are merging and everything's kind of coalescing together.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that once the walls break down, and I mean the human, you know, cultural and political walls come down, because I think that's the biggest obstacle in any of this stuff going on here. A lot of people want to kind of keep their little field all to themselves,
right?
And they don't want to share the knowledge, and they want to keep everything esoteric.
Well, the biggest problem with parapsychology being recognized is it's not repeatable in a laboratory setting. It's not 100%. H2O is always water.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a fellow down at the Rhine Research Center flipping cards and have his subject get 256 right in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that every single day, so science won't recognize that.
Right, right. It won't legitimize it as, you know.
But, you know, the guy that broke the world record in the 100-meter dash can't do that every day.
Right,
he can't do that every day. But he is recognized as the best guy in the world.
Interesting, very well said.
Sure, thanks.
It's so true. Like, I know we're gonna go on break in about 4 minutes. So I was wondering if you had anything to share with us.
Well, I got a couple of what is called EVP.
So
examples of EVP, which stands for electronic voice phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna play something that a friend of mine and I recorded in California. A fellow named Chris Fleming. EVP.
Oh, yes, I know him.
Do you know Chris?
Yeah,
he's cool.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Very, very good. He's on TV all the time, too.
Yeah, he does. He was the host of...
he's doing Psychic Kids now, right?
He's doing Psychic Kids. Yeah. But he's
Hello, Chris.
He's a good guy, Chris. He's a good guy. We've become good friends. And
Who wouldn't be good friends with you? Crying out loud.
I can give you a long, long list. But let me play this real quick. We were in California. We were actually shooting a pilot for a television show. And Chris recorded this. You'll hear him ask a question. And you will hear a response to the question. And I will play two versions of it. One is the original, and the second is the EVP itself cleaned up. So let's see if this works here.
Okay, folks. Here we go.
Speak right now to this recorder. Can you hear my voice?
All right. I'm gonna play it one more time.
Can you speak right now to this recorder? Can you hear my voice?
I hear a sort of a response. I'm going to play the cleaned up version right now.
Sure, yeah.
And what we believe it's saying is, Chris asked, can you hear my voice? And you hear somebody say, yes, look over here.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that is a great example of what I would call an intelligent haunting, where Chris asks a question and this discarnate energy responded to him.
Mm-hmm.
And fantastic. And I was in the room.
Very clear. Yeah.
And you didn't have to really bump it up too much, you know, to hear it at the time. And I was in the room. There was about 12 people in the room. Mm-hmm. And it was on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were recorders going all over this house. And it only came off on one recorder, the recorder that Chris was holding. It didn't come off on my recorder. It didn't come off on any of the camera recorders.
That's interesting. But what did you guys make of that?
I believe, and Chris gets EVP everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like an EVP magnet. He is. I am like EVP repellent. I never get it if I'm
holding
it.
No, but you have an upgrade now.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Ah, cool. I love this place.
That's so funny. So I love it. That's so funny. That's very interesting how some people, even them touching the equipment or somehow...
Well, you know, like we were saying before, a ghost or an apparition, whatever you want to call them, they don't have a mouth. They're not making sound waves. So a microphone doesn't really matter on these things. There are reports of people getting EVP off of cassette tapes that are still in the wrapper.
That's how it was originally... I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cassette tapes that were still in the wrapper. I didn't know. So we're going to take another delicious break, another delicious breath,
a delicious breath.
And we're going to be right back.
You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network.
High definition digital stereo.
Broadcasting to the world. Would you like to know what's going on in the Italian-American community and stay in touch, even if you don't live in Little Italy? There's a way to do it. There's a great newspaper out called GIA, the Giornale Italo-Americano. This newspaper is distributed nationally and comes out weekly, and you can subscribe by going to their website at www.giamondo.com, that's G-I-A-M-O-N-D-O.com, or call 718-592-2196. Check out GIA for all your information on what's happening in the Italian-American community. It's published in both Italian and English. It's a great way to read and follow up and practice your Italian as well. Check out GIA on the internet at www.giamondo.com. GIA newspaper, the Italian-American newspaper for today.
Annie, cent'anni, that means 100 years.
Yeah, ribbero, ribbero, cent'anni, 100 years, Rose. And thanks to Johnny Mandolin and Cent'anni Broadcasting for letting us get you involved to remember the Triangle Factory Fire Centennial Memorial this year, 2011.
It's coming up on March 25th, 100 years ago, the fire that happened at the corner of Washington and Green, downtown Manhattan, New York City. 146 workers' lives were lost.
That's right, and mostly young girls, Rose, mostly young Italian and Jewish garment workers. Please come to our website, www.rememberthetrianglefire.org. Get involved and help us make a permanent memorial to these young garment workers and the legacy of workers' safety, immigrant rights.
We need to all remember what came from this fire. Join us March 25th, 2011.
Join Workers United and the Fire Coalition. www.rememberthetrianglefire.org.
Definition Digital Radio, broadcasting to the world.
And we are back at Working Things Out here on the Cent'anni Broadcasting Network. This is Diana, and I'm here with Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Diana.
We're having a very wonderful time here. We're talking about a lot of interesting things and
yes.
In a very different perspective.
Yes.
Because we have had your friend Dom here before. We've had Larry from Mathly Paranormal.
Now, Larry,
we have you, and I'm going to put it on the air that I do kind of want to have a roundtable with all of you guys together.
That'd be awesome.
So, you know, I'm going to hold
you to
that. Yeah, and kind of have different perspectives. We'll be throwing glasses across the bar, right?
We'll have both of those guys.
I think you can. I think I can, too. So, before we went on break, we had a wonderful example of an EVP. What is it? Electromagnetic voice phenomena.
EVP is electronic voice phenomena.
And that's a disembodied voice, something that you can't really perceive or explain.
Electronic voice phenomena, it's a noise, or it could be music. It's something that you don't hear at the time of the recording. But when you go back and review the recording at a later date, even minutes later, it comes out on that recorder.
Right, and it's something not just like a rustling. It's something very specific.
Well,
right?
it can be rustling. I mean, there are different grades of EVP. There's Class A, Class B, Class C.
I didn't know there were different classes.
Well, yeah, I mean, something like the one that Chris has is, it would be considered a Class A.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it without headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
Class B would be something that you need headphones on.
Mm-hmm.
Class C would be something that you would need to clean up in order to hear it. But the one that that Chris got that we just played is a fantastic example.
Yeah, that was very clear. Yeah. I watch a lot of these shows. I find them, of course, obviously fascinating. And different investigators on TV have different methods, and they sometimes play EVPs, you know, for the audience to hear.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, I can't really tell from listening to the actual thing. I guess to have somebody interpret it or whatever they
do. Well, and it's also stuff on TV. You know, these guys have to produce stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Every week.
media commercials,
and
pressure
and,
to,
and
you know,
so they I know
they're amping up a little bit.
Absolutely, absolutely, and there's a lot of recreation going on. And
I find it interesting.
It's cool. It's brought a lot of attention to the field, and you can't knock it for that. But but I will say that anything you see on TV is. On TV, it's entertainment.
It's true, it's entertainment. So,
sure, I've shot plenty of these shows, and I can tell you that, you know, there is nothing real about reality TV.
Oh, I doubt, so. I'm sure, yeah, absolutely. That's true. Betty, she agrees.
Betty.
Like the housewives of such and such town. So, you were talking about the Merchants House Museum. And tell us a little bit more about how that's going.
Well, it's going fantastic. The first time we... Now, the Merchants House Museum was on one of the shows, Ghost Hunters. And it wasn't a good experience for them. And the Ghost Hunters deemed it not haunted because they didn't catch anything that particular night.
Mm-hmm,
but...
Mm-hmm.
After that show aired, they literally got thousands and thousands of requests to do investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And they had such a bad experience that they turned everybody down. And then Dopey Dan wrote him a letter about 6 months later. And I said, well, let me throw my hat in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And wrote a letter, and it connected with the people over at the Merchant's House. And they made me jump through hoops for about 6 months. Before, and I bought lots of lunches, and before they let me in, they vetted me, and you know I can't blame them, and the place is priceless. Everything in there is priceless. Literally, you can't put a price tag on this stuff. So they had to be sure that it's not going to be someone's going to, you know, break or sit on the chairs, which you know I've almost done. They go, hey, don't sit on that chair.
Uh-huh.
It's you know it's 400 years old.
Yeah, they're delicate.
Holy
no,
cow,
absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah, no.
But
you wouldn't know
down.
That.
You wouldn't know
any,
just sitting down. But so we started investigating there, and we did a 2-night investigation. It was the very first investigation. The second night we were there, I brought in a psychic. His name is Richard Scholler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the deal with Richard, I didn't know Richard before I started looking for a psychic. They wanted to do a seance, a 19th century seance, to go with a 19th century house.
Okay.
So I called Lilydale, New York. You've heard of Lilydale?
Yes.
It's the campground for psychics.
Yes.
And I called them and I asked for their help, and they gave me a bunch of names of people out in New York City and Long Island, Queens. Got a hold of Richard. We talked on the phone and we just hit it off immediately. And we actually have a couple mutual friends out on Long Island, and he agreed to do this seance for free. Now, Richard didn't know anything about the place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't tell him anything. He didn't know if it was uptown, downtown, east side, west side, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing he asked if it was a private home or a business, which I couldn't answer because it is a business and it was a private home.
It's kind of both.
I said, Richard, I don't know why he asked. And he said, well, do I wear shorts? Is it hot? Is it air conditioning?
Right.
I said, where
practical
are
questions.
Shorts? Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I brought him down there, and he did this seance, and he just blew everybody away, including himself. He was amazed at some of the stuff he was getting. He was talking to people, and they said it wasn't anybody from the family that was with us that night, although Seabury apparently did show up. But he was talking to a girl named Annie McNulty, who he said was a servant, and she was from Ireland. We were able to go, and also a girl named Bridget Murphy. Well, now, we were able to go back later on and go into the census from the 1850s,
mm-hmm.
and there was a Annie McNulty and a Bridget Murphy who lived at the house.
Wow.
Now, he had no idea where he was going.
Right.
And all this stuff was amazing to me, but I think the people at the Merchant's House, I know for a fact that they were a little skeptical, and they thought that I might have tipped Richard off.
Sure. No, you know what? And why wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would have to be. I'm glad they were.
Yeah.
Because Richard then started speaking to Bridget and Annie McNulty, and they were asking about a red S-shaped settee that is missing from the house. Now, the director of the house, I talked to her afterwards, and I said, so what'd you think? And she said, Dan, I got to be honest with you. He was so right on, I thought maybe you might have tipped him off, and I don't really know you, so I have to trust.
Right.
She goes, but when he started talking about the S-shaped red settee, she goes, I had a conversation in my office this afternoon, and we are looking for the S-shaped red settee, that used to be in that front parlor where we were sitting.
Mm.
And he knew where all the furniture was supposed to be because Bridget was saying, well, that couch was over there and this chair is supposed to be over here.
Mm.
And so we were able to verify this information. Now, Richard's been back there three or four times with me.
Fascinating.
It's yeah, amazing stuff. So they have been gracious enough and trusting enough, and it really means a lot to me that they trust me to go in there whenever I feel like. I go in there maybe every 6 weeks, every 8 weeks, and do an investigation.
What was something that you personally found in your body or in your senses or even vicariously?
Pardon me?
It's a clean show, folks. Where you felt that there was something out of the ordinary in that location, even if it was through your colleague or something.
Well, I'm not a...
sensitive, as they say.
There's a lot of people that I'll tell you I'm not sensitive at all. I try to kind of not pay attention if I do have any kind of feelings. I just try and go off of what I can collect and what I can show somebody. I'll keep it to myself, or I'll mention going, it feels creepy in here, or the hair standing on the back of my neck. But I don't try and judge myself or judge what might be happening. I leave that to the people that I bring, who I trust more than myself when it comes to any kind of psychic ability.
And then they'll corroborate or confirm.
Exactly, exactly. Now, that being said, I have been in places where I've gotten a creepy feeling. And then a psychic or Richard or somebody will be with me and go, there's somebody standing right next to you.
A disembodied person.
Yeah, there's a ghost. It was my dog at one point that he was talking about. Yeah.
Is that the one on your arm?
That's Gus. I have a tattoo of Gus.
Hello, Gus, wherever you may be.
Yeah, he's in dog heaven. Oh.
I hear rumors, as an animal lover, passionate animal lover, that a lot of times beloved pets become our guardian animals.
Well, I tell you what Richard told me. We were actually disagreeing on something at the merchant's house, and he said, I actually see these with my eyes. And I said, you don't, you're seeing them with your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, they don't have mass to reflect light. How could you see them?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Dan, your dog's been following you around all day. Now, my dog had passed away probably 6 weeks before this. And Richard knew that. So I thought it was kind of cheap. And I said, thinking to myself, oh, come on, Richard, you know that my dog died.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, he's been following you around and he's doing a funny little dance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gus, if I didn't pay attention to Gus, we used to call it the Matador Dance, and he would kick his legs out like a bull. And if I was ignoring him, and Richard didn't know that, so
right,
for him
right,
to
right,
say
right.
that he's doing a funny dance,
a Matador
what
dance.
The Matador
yeah.
Dance,
but
I can't explain that. So that's kind of amazing to me. And
have you been able to acknowledge Gus?
I talk to him all the time.
Oh, good. That's wonderful to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a whole collection of them that I talk to. Hi, King.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
A lot of animals. Yeah. I mean, I think that animals are very, there's also the haunted on Animal Planet.
Yeah, I mean, I have people when I'm talking to somebody and they tell me my dog barks, stands in the corner and he barks
well,
at the roof.
Well, yes. I mean,
I say, put your dog on the phone and let him tell me what, I have to discredit that
no,
kind of
it's
stuff.
No, it's true. No, see, there's normal behavior and then there's behavior that, again, can't be explained easily.
Right.
See, I like the haunted because we had a wonderful guest here, Tiffany Ray Larkin. Hi, Tiffany. And
hey,
she also, I don't know if you know her, but she works with some of the producers of The Haunted and they work with animals and how they are, not that they use them for investigations,
right.
but people that are
right.
distressed because
sure.
their home or their business and somehow the animals are picking up on it or that some animals have died, some animals are, just really strangely disturbed. It's not just that they're barking at the corner. Their animals are organic.
Well,
they have mental illness just
sure,
like we do.
Sure, sure. And they also pick up on a different energy. Their brain works at a different frequency.
They can see at a spectrum a little bit farther and hear than
right.
us. So.
Sure, sure. So, but until a dog can describe what he's looking at, I have to.
We can only go by the behavior.
Right.
Like, what's normal for that animal?
Right.
What's normal for that particular species?
Sure.
Look, I work with monkeys for many many years, and they were in cages, you know, cognitive research. They're going to act a little kooky because they don't belong in cages. So, you know, I mean, how do you, I'm going to say they're haunted or they're spooky. You know, they're in cages and they're going to act a little crazy. Right. And they would do very naughty things to me. You know, even though I got fired because I overfed them because I love them so damn much. But, you know, but there's something to be said about animals. I wouldn't use them as a research, you know, tool.
Right.
But I think that we should pay attention to everything that's around, including, you know, animals and children or whatever they're picking up on.
Right.
But we're going to be taking a break in about a few seconds, and I am very curious about something we were talking about before the show.
Okay.
A little bit about tools and equipment and sort of different people use Ouija boards, people use EVPs, people use MeVPs, whatever they are. And I want to know what kind of you think about all this stuff.
All right,
you know?
I'll tell you.
And you're going to tell us.
I'll tell you.
And I have my own little feelings about it, but we'll talk. We're going to take another wonderful break. It's going to be just as delicious as the other breaks. Take a conscious breath, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Janice Ian. Do you remember how excited you were at the start of summer every year and how the summer just started to drag on after a few months and you couldn't wait to get back to school, see your old friends, make new friends, get new books and a new locker and a clean slate? Well, you should have been excited about music class, too, because that was a special room where you went to sing, perform with your friends, and learn all kinds of interesting stuff about great composers, instruments, different kinds of music and songs. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped to spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school and in their lives.
A PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
This is Tommy Pryor from the show Yorkville Stoops to Nuts. You're listening to the Chantani Broadcasting Network, high definition digital radio, broadcasting to the world.
Tingling feelings.
Tingling.
I think that guy was doing paranormal investigations.
Either that or something we don't want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You might want to check your doctor before. Consult the doctor first. And I always say that, seriously, folks. I always like to say that if you're feeling anything unusual or, you know, something that's not the norm or somebody that you know, always check. Do the normal stuff. Do the checklist. Do vigilance, as you will. Check your doctor. Make sure you have good mental health and you don't have something going on with you. And then we can start exploring other options and other resources, because sometimes, you know, even here when I announced that I'm going to do paranormal talk, people, you know, email and call, and they're like, you know, some weird stuff is happening, and you know, and I know some of these people, and I know they're really grounded and normal. And
well, I mean, it's funny you bring that up. I'm in speaking with somebody right now who lives in the Bronx. He's
whoa. The Bronx. That's it.
He's cool, though. He's
from the Bronx, I know.
He's kind of a big name in the sport bike industry. You wouldn't want me to say his name. Rodolfo. We'll call him Rodolfo.
Okay.
He's got a place, and he's got, you know, he heard me on one of these shows and got a hold of me through the website, and we're going to try and set something up at his place. But he's got some really strange stuff going on in his in his house. He's a grounded guy. He's very, very credible. And not a kook. You get a call from a lot of kooks.
Sure.
But this guy is—he's legit and on the ball. And I look forward to going up there and not wasting my time, because you do waste your time
a lot.
Which is why I kind of do the historic places, because there are more crazy people out there than not when it comes
to this stuff. And it's very interesting you should bring that up, because, you know, I know that, of course, you said the TV shows they have to produce and they have to create. So all you see is all this. A lot of the times, a lot of action stuff and it's edited and all.
Right.
But most of the time, and from your colleague Dom and from Larry from Paranormal, they said that a lot of times you get a lot of nothing.
Sure.
A whole lot of nothing.
Most of the time.
Yeah. And it's You know, I don't think that if there is something that's out of the ordinary, I don't think that ghosts or, you know, people that have passed on or whatever, or entities perform on cue all the time.
No.
You know, I think
no.
a lot of times...
Why would they?
People look, yeah, why would they? They're not, you know...
They're not in the mood. I mean, the thing about... And to look at it in a level-headed... Kind of, taking a level-headed approach with this is these apparitions, we'll call them, the personalities, the consciousness that survives, and you know, first law of thermodynamics says energy isn't created, destroyed, it transfers.
Yeah.
So now, if this energy has transferred and it's able to communicate with us, that's part of parapsychology, survivalism.
Right.
It can communicate with us. That's a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not any smarter than he was or she was.
Mm-hmm.
It's not any dumber.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have all the secrets of the world, probably.
Right.
And they probably get in bad moods and good moods. Or if the person was a jerk when they were alive, it'll probably be a jerk when they're
right.
gone.
Absolutely.
So yeah, they're not going to act on cue. And I don't believe they draw energy from things. And I don't believe that they're evil. And you know.
Well, let's talk about that drawing energy. I sing at the Algonquin Hotel with Sam and Jordan and friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sing on Sundays, except this Sunday. And it is known for...
Being haunted,
yeah,
sure.
Being
I've tried
haunted.
To get in there plenty of times.
Oh, then you
I used to work at the Royalton right across
oh,
the street.
So then I should introduce you to Sandy Jordan,
yeah,
by the way.
Please, yes. Please.
So we, she calls them, and they come up in pictures. When she doesn't call them,
yeah.
we take tons of pictures just for the entertainers.
Uh-huh.
And for some strange reason, when she... You know, she calls them.
It's her.
They come as orbs. They come as orbs, and I had a whole bunch of around me. I have some in my
uh-huh.
Facebook,
uh-huh.
and they're delicious round orbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so interesting because you know they kind of respect her,
mm-hmm.
and they're not. You know what I mean? There's no disrespect
right.
in that area. I don't
right.
know. And I think it's important to approach any of these things with respect.
Right.
Not just go in there because you're an enthusiast and you're here. I'm like, I want to do that too.
Right.
So with that said, what do you think about this whole idea of people just, you know, wanting to conjuring up spirits and using this tool and that tool? And
well, you know, as far as the tools, like I said before, there's nothing that's been invented to, there are things that have been invented to sell. For,
uh-huh.
But nothing really has been invented to capture a ghost, to record a ghost. You use the tools that you have available. You can modify them to maybe prove a theory.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has been invented, and there is nothing right now that can definitively say, hey, look, this is a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Orbs, for example. And while I do believe that anything is possible, for the most part, 99.9% of the time, I can explain an orb.
Mm-hmm.
And I can recreate an orb.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually take orb photos and I toss them out.
So I want to send you some, actually, because we have some from Two of My Land, One of My Sea. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, I've been there.
And I've also, several times I've been there too.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Algonquin, as I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And also at my sister's wedding in Florida. There were pictures, and I know there's dust balls, and I know there are bugs, and
right.
I understand all that stuff,
right,
you know.
Right, right.
But there were some critical moments where there was nothing, absolutely blackness, and then
mm-hmm.
there were pictures where she was kissing her husband in the wedding, and they were like surrounded by orbs,
wow.
and the different, it was amazing.
Right.
I'll just send you some of them. But tell me about the Ouija board. What's your perspective on the Ouija board? Because I have my issues with it. I think that people shouldn't just go crazy.
Yeah, I've got no problem with Ouija boards. Parker Brothers, you know, sells these things. I actually called Parker Brothers. I do a lot of lectures, and a lot of people are frightened by Ouija boards. And I, like I said, I've got no problem with them. I called Parker Brothers, and I recorded the
you
conversation.
Did?
Yeah, and I asked the guy, and he was totally cool because I use it in my lectures.
Mm-hmm.
And he describes the process of making a Ouija board, which is made out of flake board. And I asked him, I said, now, where in the process do they make the Ouija board magic?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, Dan, we don't make the Ouija board magic. And it's not. It's a piece of wood with a plastic planchette. And if somebody really and truly believes that is going to open the door to demons
or anything.
There's nothing that I can say to prove them wrong. Now,
right.
I have never, I've used them plenty,
mm-hmm.
and nothing strange has ever happened. It's called the ideomotor effect, how that planchette moves around. It's
mm-hmm.
it's us moving it around without even realizing it. It's and people say it's about the intention.
It is about the intention.
But we also do EVP experiments, and the intention is to make contact, which is what people are doing with the Ouija board. So I don't have a problem with the Ouija board. I don't know if a spirit can go, oh, you know, Diana's using the Ouija board, let's call the demon spirits, and they'll come through, rather than Dan doing an EVP experiment, and only the good spirits are going
to
go through.
That's a very, actually, good thing to hear, and for a lot of people out there. Also, you can create a Ouija board just from paper, and create your own planchette.
I tell people, I will tattoo a Ouija board on my back.
Yeah,
and
on your back?
Sure.
Where on your back? So anyway, we have to end this wonderful show. But I want you to come back. I absolutely do. We do a roundtable. We do whatever you want to talk about as far as paranormal stuff. It's very interesting. I want to thank everybody for listening to Working Things Out. And thank you so much, Dan. I had a wonderful time.
Oh, me too.
Thank
me too. It was great. And look forward to the next time.
And remember, everyone, you're never, ever alone.